morning.
This is a great day outside. And yes, I am very nervous. So forgive me if I start stumbling. I'll be just talking in a not being able to understand me, so forgive me for that. Have you ever had one of those discussions that turns into a small argument where one person says something they shouldn't have, or they don't realize they said it, or it's just a slip of the tongue? You married guys out there, you know what I mean, right? You know, you know what I'm talking about. You have a simple argument with your wife, and during you say something you probably forget by the time it came left your mouth. So, you know, you go about your business, you walk off, go about doing your stuff that you're doing for the day, and you come back in, whether it be the kitchen, bedroom, or whatever, and you walk in and you stop short. Because there, when your wife's back to you, you see the ice start forming on her shoulder. You know, like the old cold shoulder? And you sit there and you scratch your head, what did I do? Believe me, I know, it's happened to me quite a bit. And you say, it's not over. It's just not over. She then points out what you said and how you said it. You stand there dumbfounded, trying to figure out when you said it and why you said it. I seem to always come up on the short end of that discussion. I'm always on the other side. Very rarely am I in the right. Of course, I shouldn't have said that, so now I'll be paying a price for the rest of my life. I don't know about your wife's, but mine has the memory of an elephant. Okay? No, that I want everybody to, I said memory, right? Not size. Can I verify for that? In the end, I recall saying it, apologizing it a little grudgingly, but the matter's put to rest. Truth be told, if you do not seek to resolve your differences, the short-term grudge can grow into something much larger. The issue is never fully resolved until one asks for forgiveness and the other side forgives. Why do we at times find it so difficult to forgive another person? To many of us, forgiveness is a loaded term. Most people consider it to be condoning or overlooking a person's bad behavior, kind of giving the person a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is the fear that by forgiving the person who wronged us, we are handing out an invitation to be wrong again. However, to forgive is one of the foundations of our Christian faith. Forgiveness is part of God's purpose and is essential to his activities here on earth, the realm of humanity. Forgiveness is a gift he freely gives us to us when we repent our sins and turn our faith to Jesus Christ. He offers forgiveness without restriction to every human being. Now, in Luke, the first time Jesus talks in public, Luke has it, is right after he returns from spending 40 days in the wilderness and being tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. After Galilee, Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day, he was in his custom, he went to the synagogue. Most of us are familiar with Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 30, because this is where Jesus declares no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And he is driven out of town by people determined to kill him. They had wanted to throw him over the cliff. But there is one verse, verse 18, which is overlooked, and the message it gives is important. It tells us what Jesus' purpose is for being amongst us. Dan has said earlier, I'm just going to repeat it the verse. He stood to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It was given to him. And that's what they did. They stood to read and they sat to teach or discuss it. So just a little tidbit there. And he read from chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the New Testament, in Luke, it's actually almost word for word for Isaiah. It's in Luke. So it's pretty close, very close. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Before I continue, I want to point out that Jesus ended the reading right after that phrase, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is exactly what he was proclaiming. The season of God's grace had come to his Messiah's ministry. Jesus did not read the second half of verse 2, which states, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. This phrase is referring to Christ's second coming and his redemption of the world. He read the part he was fulfilling and not the part that would only be fulfilled by him at the end of at the judgment day. So let's go back and take a look at two words in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. That are important. These words are freedom and free. Each one is translated from the Greek word aphesis, and it means to release from bondage or imprisonment or the forgiveness of pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, the remission of the penalty. So according to Jesus, the reason he was sent here was to proclaim our release from imprisonment and to forgive our pardon or pardon our sins. Our sins were given, forgiven as if they had never been committed. The penalty we were required to pay was paid for and ransomed by Jesus Christ. Now the question is, why should we forgive others? Anybody have an idea? I didn't until I read this. The ultimate reason we forgive God is God tells us we must forgive. The entire emphasis of the New Testament is on the forgiveness of sins, the reconciliation of God, and holy living and made possible by the love of God through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The forgiveness God grants to us for our sins is the foundation, is a stand for us to forgive one another. Scripture tells us we have to forgive others in the same way God has forgiven us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, Paul tells us, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. Jesus tells us if we do not forgive others when we sin against us, our own sins will not be forgiven by God. Just think about that for us. If we don't forgive other people, God's not going to forgive us our sins. So it's kind of like, you know, forgive, you know, everybody's going to forgive. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus stated, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Jesus further stresses this point in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. That's the one that Peter asked him, how often should I forgive a brother? And he asked 7 times. Jesus answers, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Jesus takes 2 perfect numbers, the 7 and 10, and multiplies them together, then multiplies it again by the number 7. So what it's saying is, he does this to show that genuine forgiveness has no boundaries. I mean, there's no boundaries. It's genuine. You forgive and there's no boundaries. And this carrying on, Jesus jumps into the parable of the unforgiving servant. I'm sure you've all heard that one. In this parable, he compares the kingdom of heaven with the king who wants to settle his accounts. The king goes around settling accounts of all the servants, and he comes to his last servant, and the servant cannot repay. So the servant's going to have all his stuff sold, his family sold, to repay his debt. And he asked the king to forgive him, to give him time to repay it. And the king had compassion and forgave him his debt. So what does he do? This servant goes right out, finds another servant that owes him money, grabs him, starts choking him, and demands payment. And this other servant gets on his knees and begs for, you know, for more time. He'll pay, repay it. And he said no. So he ends up throwing this guy in jail until he could recoup it. That's really powerful. You think about it. This guy just had all his debts forgiven. He won't forgive somebody else. In verses 31 to 34, we are told, when the servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went to tell their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have that mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. In verse 35, Jesus tells us, no, he actually warns us. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. If we act in the same manner as a servant, Jesus tells us we will be treated in the same manner as the servant by God. So I guess he's trying to tell us that we should forgive others unconditionally. Our salvation is not based on our accomplishments, but solely on God's grace and mercy. To receive God's grace and mercy, we must believe, we must be eager to forgive. Unless we forgive others their trespasses, we ourselves will remain unforgiven. Pastor John MacArthur, in his book, For the Freedom and Power of Forgiveness, declares, for a Christian to be willfully unforgiving is unthinkable. We who have been forgiven by God himself has no right to withhold forgiveness from others' fellow sinners. One other reason we should forgive is to have a healthier life. If you are someone that has difficulty forgiving people and hold grudges, or if you are someone that can just cannot let things go, you need to know. It will adversely affect you in time. Maybe not right away, but it will at some point. Holding a grudge against someone can cause such devastation that it comes to affect their health. We mull it over and over until it gnaws at our gut. You can become depressed and full of bitterness and hate. It leads people to say and do things that they never would think of doing. I was reading an article on WebMD, and I quote, holding a grudge can also heighten feelings of physical pain, even if that pain has nothing to do with the incident in question. So if your lower back is bothering you, or you have achiness of arthritis, your pain can feel worse if you're stewing over the grudge. Letting go of the grudge starts with forgiveness. That doesn't mean you're excusing the behavior of the person exhibited, and you may never forget it, but if you can forgive the person for that mistake, you can break free and hold it he or she has had on you for your life. Or you can break free of the hold he or she has had on the life. The benefits are wide-ranging and immediate. Almost sounds like it comes from Scripture, doesn't it? Think about it. That's on WebMD. That whole thing I just read was on the internet. Oh, everything's on the internet, that's right. You know, there are times when someone causes so much harm to another, it is nearly impossible to forgive the person. But I wanted you to know that it's possible when you ask God's help. This is a tearjerker. And if you want to really get into listening, reading about this story, about this mother, Renee, with four children who lost a daughter to a drunk driver, just do a search on Renee. Drunk driver, daughter dead, and it'll come up. It's absolutely amazing. It's a perfect example of forgiveness that I just can't fathom. So I don't know if I... We'll just leave it at that. She has a mother of four children. Two of her daughters are twins. One night, Megan and her best friend, one of her daughter Megan, and her best friend Lisa were riding home from the beach. They were struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid, and both girls lost their lives. Renee lost her daughter, a joy of her life, and the young man was given a sentence of 22 years. Renee ended up being the darkest place she had ever been. This young man was in jail. She felt like the prisoner. She had so much bitterness and hatred toward this young man, and yet she reached out to him in prison and told him that she forgave him. It changed the life of this young man. He said, "She forgave me, and I cannot forgive myself." Other family members followed her lead, so much so they considered him part of the family, like a son to Renee. The entire family went to court and had Eric's sentence cut in half to 11 years. This young man was blown away that they would go and have this sentence reduced. Renee said, "The judge and jury are saying to you, it's okay to hold a grudge, and that's what the whole world is telling you, which it is, and that's okay. But yet those feelings are inside of you, eating away at you, and you do not want to live your life that way. You will have some people who will never take responsibility or apologize for what they said, but you still need to forgive if you want to heal. It does not mean you are canceling any of it out, but once you truly say these words, you do find that you are setting a prisoner free, and the prisoner truly is you." The greatest example we have of forgiveness is Jesus himself. When he was betrayed and he felt the pain, the anger, the hatred against him, even through all of this, through the love of the Father, even when he was on a cross dying, paying the penalty and price for our sins, Jesus asked God to forgive us. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus declares, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's amazing. I mean, I just can't comprehend it. Of course, I'm not Jesus. I'm just a normal human being. Believing in God's forgiveness is easy when your life is given to Jesus and alone your salvation. God promises you will be forgiven. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, John explains it simply. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life in his Son. Whoever has Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is fairly straightforward. Life eternal is life with and in Christ. We cannot have one without the other. Paul reminds us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. There are three questions I'd like to ask ourselves, including me. Is there someone I need to forgive? Is this burden getting heavier? Then set it free. Is there someone I need to seek forgiveness from? Go apologize and start over for that person before it's too late. You may regret it. As in the case of Eric, third question, as in the case of Eric, can we ever forgive ourselves? We need to learn to love that person staring back at us in the mirror. The story of Renee and her family and Eric inspired Matthew West to write this powerful song, Forgiveness. And I would like to share the words with you. I know it's kind of long, but I think it's important. It's dead on. It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Take everything you have to say the word, forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away from the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the judge and jury say you've got a right to hold the grudge. It's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free, forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you can see through the eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you, forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible, forgiveness. I want to finally set it free. Show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me grow to give what you gave to me, forgiveness. That's pretty powerful words, if you think about it. If you have someone you need to forgive, or if you need to approach another person to ask for their forgiveness, or if you need to look in the mirror and forgive yourself, I cannot emphasize this enough. Please do it. It will truly set you free. Let us pray. Father, as we leave here today, we reach out to you to give us the strength to forgive. Help us through your grace to release our anger and resentment towards others. We ask you to help us forgive as you have forgiven us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Herb, for that very powerful message on forgiveness, how we are called to forgive because the Lord has forgiven us. And I would love us to really think through those questions that Herb asked about, is there somebody we need to forgive? Is there somebody who we need to ask forgiveness from? And perhaps most importantly, do we need to forgive ourselves? Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself, isn't it? This is one of the reasons that we celebrate communion together, the Lord's Supper, because it reminds us, the Lord said, do this in memory of me. And what he wanted us to remember was the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And it was the cross that opened that door to forgiveness for us. It was the cross that broke the curse. And so as we do this today, let's keep that in our hearts, that theme of forgiveness. And we forgive because we have been forgiven so much. So I'd like to invite a couple of our deacons forward to help.